Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. So Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the time that we can have together. Thank you, Father, for just already ministering to our hearts, Lord, through the songs, through the children's song. Thank you, Father, for just drawing us unto you by your Spirit. Father, I ask this morning you would speak to our hearts, Lord, guiding us according to your will. Father, we desire to hear from heaven this morning, Father. We don't want to go through a church ritual. Father, we want to sit at the feet of Jesus, and we want to hear from heaven. Father, we want to be taught by you and led by you. Father, give us the ability to even respond to your leading. Father, we ask that you would bless your word. You promised it would go forth. It would not return void. It would go forth and do what it's intended to do. And we want it to pierce our hearts. We want it to change our own thinking. If our thinking is wrong, Lord, I pray that you would change our thinking. Help us to understand the scriptures the way that they are meant to be understood, because they're not for private interpretation. Lord, you spoke, and Father, you had men of old to write down your word. They were moved by the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. So, Lord, it's not up for debate. It's not up for private interpretation, but, Lord, taking it as it is, the word of God that is to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It instructs us, it guides us, it helps our faith to increase, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, we ask that you would. We all, Lord, are before you this morning wanting you to speak to our hearts. Father, would you do the same in junior church for the children? Continue to open up their hearts and minds just like you did in Sunday school. Help them to understand the Bible lesson. Help them to have fun with the crafts, the games, whatever it is that they're doing. But Father, we pray the word of God would take root in their heart to bring forth fruit, the fruit of salvation, the fruit of a relationship with Christ. Lord, a fruit of faithfully trusting you, walking with you, and being that testimony to their family and friends. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to us about being strengthened in Christ. The theme for the year for the church, if you've gone on to the website, is God is able. And there is nothing that God cannot do for his children. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I'm always amazed when I think about that verse, that not just what we ask, but even what we think, he's able to go above and beyond that, because he is God and he has no limits to his power. He has no limits to his faithfulness. But this morning, before we get started, I even want to pose this question to each and every one of us, and that is, what does God owe you?
What does God owe you? What does God owe me? What does God owe us? And the answer to that question is nothing. God owes us absolutely nothing. What is it that we have done for God that God needs to be faithful to us because of what we have done for him? And the answer is nothing. We've done absolutely nothing to make God deserve to be faithful to us or to answer our prayers exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. But here's the thing. I want you to listen to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. God doesn't owe us anything, but he sure does bless us tremendously. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." God doesn't owe us anything, but he sure does blesses us when he revives our heart. And he renews our spirit and refreshes our faith in him. That is what he's saying in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord." As we wait upon the Lord, God desires to strengthen us, to revive our hearts in him, to renew our spirits in trusting him, and to refresh our faith in following him. Because even though God doesn't owe us anything, we've done nothing great that God deserves or God has to provide for us, yet because of God's nature, because of God, of who God is, he's love, he's faith, he's righteous, he is merciful, he's gracious, he looked to show himself mighty in the life of his children, and he wants to strengthen us. God is able to strengthen us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He desires for us to wait upon him so that he can renew our strength in him, so we can mount up as wings as eagles and run and not be weary, because it's the Lord doing the work in us, and walk and not faint. God wants us to continue on in our faithfulness to him because he's always faithful to us. So let me just encourage us this morning to be reminded that God does not owe us anything, but he sure does stand there looking to show himself mighty in the lives of his people. So when anything happens outside of our scheduled appointments, because we love to have scheduled appointments, and anything that's not on my schedule, I don't want it to get on my schedule, especially when it comes to a car breaking down, an unexpected hospital visit, whatever it is that you don't want on your daily schedule, God wants to be there for us. He wants to renew our strength and help us. So I'm thankful that God doesn't owe us anything, but he sure does want to bless us tremendously, and he wants us to bless us with strength. And we see that in Philippians chapter 4. You're very familiar with verse 13 that says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." There's probably not a single Christian. It might be some, but I tell you what, the majority of Christians, the majority of Bible believers and those that read their Bibles know what Philippians 4:13 says, just like you know what John 3:16 says. And Philippians 4:13 is one that we probably often even breathe out to God in our prayers when we need God's help and we are struggling in any way, and we say, "Well, you know what? I know I can do all things through Christ because he's the one that strengthens me. He's the one that helps to motivate me. He's the one that encourages me, and I know that he's always there for me because he promised he'd never leave me nor forsake me." But I want us to see three types of people that God is strengthening and wants to strengthen. The first one is found in verse number 10. As Paul writes to the church at Philippi, the believers at Philippi, they have sent Epaphroditus with some gifts for Paul. They wanted to minister to Paul. They wanted to be a blessing to Paul. And Paul, he recognizes what they sent. They sent it out of love. They sent it out of their own need, and he says, "It is a sweet-smelling sacrifice acceptable unto God." God sees your sacrifice, In verse number 10, Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." The first set of people I want us to see that God does strengthen are the ones that are caring. The caring ones are strengthened by the Lord, because again, we have our own needs. And God uses us to meet the needs of other people. God wants to use us to be instrumental in the lives of other people. Paul was someone that was very instrumental in the lives of people, not just the people at Philippi, but young men like Titus and Timothy, those companions like Luke and Barnabas and Silas, and those that would travel with him and help him in the ministry. He would be a blessing. He would be a testimony for them. He would help them in time of need. And here's a group of people that want to be a blessing back to him, but no doubt having their own need, being persecuted, not having much, but yet they took what they had because they had a caring heart for God's people and for, obviously, for Paul here. So the first set of people we see that God strengthens, and we need that strength, is those that are willing to care for others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, the Bible says, Paul says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." To prove the sincerity of your love. As I mentioned earlier, that God does want to revive our hearts. God's looking to revive our hearts so our hearts will be like David's heart, a man after God's own heart, so that we will have the compassion that Christ had upon people, that we would be the people that truly care for one another, and we seek after those opportunities to care, knowing that, you know what, whatever my need is, the Lord will strengthen my need. The Lord will help me and to be able to care for others. God truly does want us to be used of him to care for others. It is a sign that we are disciples of Christ, as Jesus said, "How will they know that you are my disciples? If you have love one for another." If you have love one for another, having that loving care, that caring love for one another. But you know how we can care for one another? How we can truly care for others? Just as these believers in Philippi were caring for the need of Paul, his physical need, they cared about the gospel. Look, if you would, again, in verse number 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last year care of me hath flourished again." This wasn't the first time that they had cared for Paul, but they cared for Paul because what was Paul to them? He was not only a friend, but he was someone who came to their town, somebody who ended up in prison, someone who led the Philippian jailer to a believing knowledge in Jesus Christ, one that helped Lydia, the seller of purple, not to just have religion, but to have a relationship with Christ. He helped to deliver a young lady that was in bondage, not only to two men who were her masters, but she was in bondage to demon possession, and he was able to deliver her because of Jesus Christ, because of the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the manifestation of God's love. And God wants to manifestate that caring love through each and every one of us. That word, care, simply means to have an intense interest. You know what? We live in a day and age where people really aren't interested in nobody else but themselves. Because we have a life to live. We're busy. We have busy schedules. We have jobs. We have families. But Jesus shows us that, you know what? To care for somebody is to take time. And as the Lord changes our heart and renews that love in our heart, he wants us, obviously, to extend that heart to one another. But the definition for care is intense interest, a mental direction, that which one strives for or seeks after.
Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, obviously, we can't properly love and care for anybody without first having a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus taught his disciples to love and to care for people. Many times you read in Scripture and the disciples would tell Jesus, you know, send the people away. Send them into the towns to fend for themselves. Or, you know, they would even say, you know, send this woman away because she's pestering us. Just coming after us and just the things that people were doing. And Jesus said, no. He said, okay, you take care of them. You feed them. And Jesus was the one that provided for the people, but he had the disciples minister to the people and obviously, you know, pass out the bread, the fish. He caused his disciples to learn how to have a heart like God and compassion like Christ. And he truly does strengthen us because we are prone to kind of withdraw ourselves from helping people. We'll pray for them, but I'm telling you, there is something in helping people. And there, you know, there's often where, okay, maybe someone doesn't really want the help. Someone's not really interested. But at least you had a heart's desire. You tried to. I just, over the course of my life as a Christian, I have gotten blessed so many times by being a help to someone, not expecting anything in return, knowing I had things I needed to do, but yet taking that time, and God always would provide the time to get what I needed done. And it was always a blessing to be a help to somebody. I'm telling you, we just live in a day and age where too many Christians are looking inward instead of outward. And I'm not saying anybody specifically in here, but we all, including myself, need to keep that outward look towards others, because that is what Christ would have us to do, to have that caring heart for somebody else. Do I have need? Absolutely, I have need. But Jesus blesses and he supplies all that need. Again, just jumping down, if you would, to verse 19. We are familiar with verse 13. We are definitely familiar with verse 20. Now unto God and our Father, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad that God provides our every need? I'm glad, because I often, I'll even say, Lord, you promised to supply all my need. And Lord, I am needing some things right now. But God reminds us of that so that we will be encouraged not to hold back from caring about somebody else and meeting somebody else's need. And even asking God, God, show me somebody I can minister to. Show me somebody I can care for. Show me somebody I can show the love of Christ to and have compassion upon them. Lord, use me as a vessel. Let me be a vessel that you can fill and that you can use. And the Lord will strengthen us. He'll give us the strength to accomplish that will, because it is his will in our life. Look at verse 14. These that cared for Paul, they cared about the gospel. They cared about what Paul was doing, the ministry, and they communicated that. In verse 14, the Bible says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, again, the word communicate is not talking about our speech. It's not talking about our words. It's talking about our action, what we have done. And Paul says, you've communicated with my affliction. They just didn't send a letter and say, Paul, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. But no, they sent. They know exactly what he needed, but they trusted God would lead them in sending the right thing. And Paul says, it was a sacrifice. It was well-pleasing unto the Lord. You met my need. He said, ye did communicate with my affliction. Because you know what? Everybody's afflicted in some way. And everybody needs to know that somebody cares about them.
It might be that you just send a text or you call and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I don't know what's going on, but I just felt like, you know, I needed to pray for you. And you send that text. I mean, everybody loves to know somebody cares. But let's not be the one that sits back and says, that's right, everybody needs to care about me. I've known people that way, that when they hear a message about caring for people, they have the attitude, that's right, come care for me. That's not what he's saying, because you know what? Yes, I have need, but when I reach out to somebody else, it's like, you know what? My need, God will take care of it. Just the feeling of knowing that God used you and you were able to help somebody else feel loved and cared for. It really does do something. And Isaiah 40 in verse 31 is true, but they that wait upon the Lord, you know what? I have need, but I'm going to leave it up to God. I'm going to wait on God to provide my need. And while I'm ministering to somebody else, caring about somebody else, God renews our strength. God helps us to mount up with wings as eagles. You know what that means? We're not down in the dumps. The worst thing to do is to be isolated, focused on our own problems and issues, because then guess what? We're in sinking sand. We're sinking. But then when our focus is on somebody else and we allow ourselves to be used by God, You get, if I can use the word, you get this high. It's like, man, the weight's lifted off. You're focused on somebody else. You're being used by God. It's like, all right, whatever my problem is, God will take care of it. And it's amazing. It's amazing what praising can do, and it's amazing what helping others and having that heart and letting God truly revive our hearts and renew our spirit and refresh our faith in him, that my God shall supply my every need, and he wants to use me, and I want to communicate by being a good testimony. Because can I be a good testimony if I'm down in the dumps? If I have a sad countenance, if I'm not trusting God, can I truly have a good testimony that would encourage anybody? No. But you know what? If I am trusting God, and I'm letting God take care of my needs, and I'm relying upon him, and I'm helping somebody with a right spirit, a smile on my face, that's a good testimony. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, again, when you hear the word Barnabas, automatically you think of Barnabas and Paul, missionaries. But what was it that Barnabas did to be able to help, Paul? Which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. He was a friend to Paul, but before he became a friend to Paul, he had a heart for the things of God. And he's just saying, you know what? I want to give to the work of God. He cared about what God's work was all about. He cared about the gospel. He cared about ministering to people. He wanted to be involved with it, and God blessed him. And it was a generous involvement. I mean, he gave of his abundance. He just gave of himself. Nothing about that giving do we show where he was trying to get anything in return. But if you remember, I didn't write down, but then the next couple of verses, there was a husband and wife that did the same thing, but there was... they had some deception mixed in with theirs. They had some deception mixed in with their giving, and obviously God judged them for that. But Barnabas, he gave because he had a caring heart. He had a loving heart. And it reminds me of a lady in Mark chapter 14 that brought the alabaster box, broke it, and anointed Jesus' head and Jesus' feet. Her tears she used to clean his feet. Her hair she used to wipe his feet. Now, what wife in here would do that for their husband? Take your hair and dry their feet. Sandra, I need you to do that when we get home to prove your love. But you know, I mean, at first I was like, ew, I'm not doing that. She doesn't have to prove her love. I know she loves me. But I want you to think about this woman. This woman's name was Martha. I'm sorry, Mary. It was Mary. Mary Magdalene. She comes to Jesus, and the disciples kind of rebuke it and say, you know, what a great waste. But Jesus said, you know what? This is going to be a memorial for her. This will be spoken of her for years and generations to come. He says of her, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. She came in and she did this. But if you remember Mary Magdalene, she was a woman that had seven demons. The Bible records that she had seven demons that Jesus cast out of her. Her life was changed. What does God owe her? Nothing, but guess what she owes God? Her life. She comes, and she does this because Jesus delivered her from that demon possession, changed her life. And obviously, it's a testimony to obviously his death and his burial, that they would go and anoint the body there in the tomb. And obviously, the body wasn't there when they came there on that resurrection morning. But the fact is that he says she hath done what she could. She gave of herself. And what I want us to understand this morning and think about with that question, what does God owe me? Nothing. But I owe him my life because he gave me his life. He didn't hold anything back. He willingly laid down his life so my sins would be completely paid for. Not in partiality, but completely paid for. He was buried completely in that tomb, and he rose completely so I would have an abundance of life. He doesn't owe me anything, but man, he sure does bless me with a new life. He blesses me with a new heart. He blesses me with a right spirit that has a desire to do things for him, and he no doubt refreshes our faith so that we will follow by faith and act upon faith, trusting that, you know what? Whatever my need is, he'll supply it. And while I am doing his work, while I'm doing his bidding, what he wants me to do, he does. He refreshes my faith and renews my spirit that on the inside, it's like, you know what? What am I worried about? I have the Spirit of God in me. And because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are times where he does strengthen me. Look at verse 13. He strengthens the believing. Those that believe, he strengthens. He strengthens the caring ones. He strengthens the believing ones. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know what? That word all means all, and that's all it means. Foolishness for someone to say, that word all doesn't mean all. I had someone make the statement. I heard it secondhand where someone made the statement that, well, you know, Jesus didn't die for all. He just died for those that'll be saved. Well, that's so foolish. So when Jesus told Nicodemus, for God so loved the world, he wasn't really talking about the whole world. Just those that love him. He just dies for those that he knows will love him back. Absolutely not, because then that's not who God is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. What am I saying? I'm saying, what is it in your life that God cannot do? We've already established that he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. There's nothing he cannot do. I can do all things through Christ. And obviously, off the bat, we may even have, you know, excuse, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, no, the verse says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What is it that God wants me to do? He gives me the strength to do it. The devil wants us to believe that we cannot be used by God. The devil wants us to believe that we're not good enough, that we're not righteous enough, that we're not holy enough, that we're not saved enough. The devil wants us to believe things that are not true. And listen, all those things are true. You know what? I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not righteous enough. But it's not me. It's Jesus Christ in me that does it. So when you think about that verse, I can do all things, what is it that God wants you to do? He may not want you to be wallowing in misery anymore. He may not want you to be in bondage to doubt, to the lies of the devil. The devil, again, wants us to think that God cannot use us, that God does not love us, that God does not care, And we usually equate God with somebody in our life who doesn't love us, doesn't care about us, doesn't help us. But that's not God. That's a person. God is love. And his nature doesn't change. God is merciful. God is gracious. And the fact that God has begun a good work in you and will finish it. He will complete it. He will continue that good work until we see Christ face to face. You and I have to believe. Again, he strengthens those that believe. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It is through Jesus' provision, the provision of his Spirit. In John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, Jesus says, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I'm just not seeing fruit in my life. Well, it might be that you're not abiding in Christ. And what does it mean to abide in Christ? To walk in his word, to walk in his Spirit. The Bible says to walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And what's the lust of the flesh? Not to trust God, to have unbelief, not to surrender your life, not to allow yourself to be used by God. The lust of the flesh is always contrary to the things of God. But Jesus renews us, he strengthens us by his Spirit. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. You and I have got to let go of the dead weight of unbelief and completely hold on to Jesus Christ. Think about the unnamed woman that simply said in herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know how long I've been struggling with this. She was struggling for 12 years. This blood disorder she had, 12 years. She went to all the physicians she could go to and she did not get any help. In fact, the Bible says that she grew worse. They didn't even help her at all. She spent all of her life savings. She had nothing left except hope in Jesus. And she simply said, if I can just come and touch him of his garment. She didn't even want to come face to face. She just simply came behind him and just reached out and touched him of his garment. The Bible said in that instant she was made whole. I don't know about you, but we serve an amazing God that can do anything. Abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. She just thought, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. But she was made more than whole. Yes, that blood disorder was completely gone. But her life was changed forever. Because Jesus turned and talked to her. She was afraid to go face to face with him. Maybe she was afraid that she would be denied. I don't know. But the fact that Jesus turned and spake to her and told her to go in peace, your faith has made you whole. You know what? It is our faith that makes us whole. It is faith in Jesus Christ that causes the doubt to flee. We need to stop, and I say we is just generally, we need to stop not trusting Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. He provides for us the spirit of faith because it's Jesus Christ in us. And he supplies that faith for us. Philippians 4:19 again says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And right off the bat, somebody, not saying simply in here, just somebody will have the argument in their head. Well, I need this, this, and this, and God hasn't provided it. And it's all physical, temporal things that come to our minds when we think God will supply all of our need. Well, why hasn't he supplied this? Why hasn't he supplied that? It might be because Matthew 6:33 is not real in our life. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, let me even back up as Jesus is talking. He says in verse 30, Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows our physical needs. He knows our materialistic needs. He knows the things we need. But verse 33, Jesus says, and if we believe the word of Jesus, if we believe that Jesus is our Savior, if we believe we can faithfully follow him because he's faithful to us, then listen to what he says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The struggle in a Christian's life is not because God cannot provide for them, it's because they're not seeking God first. We have to seek God first. What does God owe us? Nothing. But he sure does bless us with his presence, with his forgiveness, with his love, with his mercy, with his grace. And he does want to supply our every need, physical, material, emotional, spiritual, whatever your need is. But he wants us to seek after him first. He's given us of his Spirit to lead us into doing that, to lead us. He wants us to abide in him through his word, through prayer, allowing the Holy Spirit to have that prominent position in our life where we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, where we don't quench the Holy Spirit in our life. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Again, Jesus said in Matthew 7:11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? There's not a single parent in this room that would not do anything or that would do anything for their children. Whatever their need was, you would try to meet that need. I mean, I told you before, I'll never forget it, but when my parents got divorced, my mom took on more than one job to provide for me and my sister. Now, as a young teenage boy, I think I had just turned 13. I didn't really see that. All I saw was a mother that was never home. But as I got older, and I was praising the Lord for a mother who was willing to sacrifice so that she could. What I'm saying is, she did what she could to make sure that we had. So Jesus is saying, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, where we'll sacrifice for our children, we'll do whatever we have to do to make sure they get the medical care, to make sure they have the clothes, the food, whatever it is they need, just some extra things. We do that often, my wife and I. We'll go out shopping and she'll be like, I gotta, pick up a donut or pick up a burger or something for one of the kids, And I'm always like, why? Not really. But I'm just saying that, we do that. And Jesus is saying, he says in Matthew 7:11, 7-Eleven, isn't that a gas station? People go to 7-Eleven to get their needs met, don't they? Anyway, he says, how much more than what we can do for our children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We do have to put the Lord first, and he does strengthen us. He provides for us through his power. Through his power. Notice again what it says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's the power of Christ in us. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know what? Sometimes we just need to be strengthened with the joy of the Lord. And he does. He renews our heart. He revives our heart. He renews our spirit. He refreshes our faith. And he's the one that does strengthen us.
Let me just give you the definition of strengtheneth, and you know it. To enable, to empower, to make strong, and do with internal strength. It's Jesus Christ in us. I can't let go.
No, but Jesus can. Too many people are trying to hold on to the rope. They've tied a knot at the end of the rope, and they're trying to hold on for dear life. And Jesus is standing there with his arms open saying, just let go. I've got you. Just let go. I've got you.
But we're holding on with all of our strength. He's the one that strengthens us on the inside.
He's the one that wants to help us endure until the end, to finish our course faithfully, faithfully trusting him, faithfully following him, faithfully relying upon him.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
Our sufficiency is of God. God supplies our every need. God, he even makes us whole. He completes us. Truly, they that wait upon the Lord, but we have to wait upon the Lord. We truly have to trust in the Lord and rely on the Lord. And even means waiting. When I'm not seeing anything happening, just waiting, knowing that God sees me. I may not can see God. I may not can tell where he's at. I mean, I'm looking in all directions, hoping I can see something that's going to point to God's working in my life, but I'm not seeing anything. So when I've looked in all directions, I can't see God. The only last place I have to look is straight up, because that's where he's at. He's high and lifted on his throne. His train fills the temple, as Ezekiel says. And God has that, everything in the palm of his hand. He has everything you and I need right there, ready. And Adoniram Johnson said it right. Go ahead and stand. We'll close with this. Adoniram Johnson was a great man of God. He was a missionary. And he said one day, the future is as bright as the promises of God. The future is as bright as the promises of God. The scripture says it this way. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Think about your walk with the Lord. Think about your relationship with Christ. Think about the fact that God is able to strengthen us. As we give of ourselves to others and to the work of God and what it is God wants us to do, he supplies our need. Whatever our need may be, he doesn't want us to walk in defeat. He wants us to walk in victory. Faith is our victory. Or it says victory is our faith. Our faith is what points to our victory, which is Jesus Christ.